Hey, half the church is emptying now. They're all following Carol out the door. God bless. God bless the children, eh? Just stretch out your hand and say, God bless them this morning. Touch these children. Hallelujah. That's our future, isn't it? That's what God's doing. So good. Samson. Well, another journey. Where did he go? Oh, there you are, hiding in the light. God bless you, Samson. Why don't we just pray for Samson together? Let's just, why don't you come out here, Samson? We just pray for you. I know, just come out and we just pray for you. God is so good, eh? And it's been lovely to have Samson here. I was on the phone to his dad yesterday, and we just believe God's best for you, Samson. We just want to pray for you. Lord Jesus, we thank you for Samson. We thank you, Lord, that at his core, Lord, he wants to give his life for you. He wants to put his life on the altar, wants to hand his life to you, Lord, that you would use him. And Father, today we ask for your blessing as he goes, as he heads off to the States. Father, we're asking you to open doors that are of your doing. Lord, we ask you you'd grant him the desires of his heart. And Lord, that which you've begun, Lord, you said you would finish. And we just pray your blessing on Samson today. And we ask you, Lord, that you would open doors for him for your purposes and your plans, that he would serve you all the days of his life for the purposes of God. Amen. Amen. Bless you, Samson. And I just wondered while we're praying, I wondered, we all know Doug and Gloria. I think Gloria here today? Gloria, how you doing? We just need to pray for Doug this morning. Doug hasn't been himself the last little while, and he went in for some tests, and they found there's a tumor in his brain that's about the size of an egg, I think. And I'm not exactly sure what the next steps are, but he's at the Royal. And we're a people that believe in miracles. And we're a people that believe there's a God in heaven that answers prayer. And we're a people that want to contend for the miraculous and just believe God. So I've just asked if Hank would come and pray this morning. And we just want to stand with Gloria, and we want to stand with Doug, and we want to look to heaven this morning, because like Jehoshaphat said, when we don't know what to do, our eyes are on him. And we want to look to heaven today. And I just come up, Hank, and we just stay there. Okay.
Father, we come to you this morning. You are our Heavenly Father. You love us with an everlasting love. Lord, right now we bring before you the need of our brother Doug. Father, he's been diagnosed with a tumor. And when we hear that, as people, we fear the worst. But yet, Lord, you are bigger than all that. You are God Almighty. Your word says that by his stripes we are healed. The Word of God has many things to say about the healing power of our loving God. And so right now we bring Doug before you. First of all, we pray for him as a person, as a brother in the Lord, that your hand would rest upon him, the Spirit of God would quicken him, that the Scriptures would be quickened to his heart and mind. Lord, that faith would rise in his own heart, not just to accept defeat in a sense, but to know that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. And so, Lord, we pray, Father, for Doug, that your hand will be upon him. We thank you for doctors, nurses, surgeons, and whatever that can do whatever they can do, but they are just people. Lord, they have learned things, and we thank you for them. But Lord, you are the God that heals. You are the God that restores. You are the God that makes whole. And right now we look to you, Father, for a victory in this area in Doug's life. Also pray for Gloria, Father, that she will be strong. Lord, that she will be an encouragement to Doug, that she will speak faith into his heart and into his life. And so we uphold them before you, Father, looking to you with all our being, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. A few of us might, probably going in this afternoon and pray with Doug. So just uphold us, uphold Doug in prayer as well. We're just looking to the Lord. Well, I was on the phone yesterday to Stuart in Canada. Rang him finally, and it was 10 o'clock at night, and the light was still on outside. So that's Canada for you. And it was so good. They sound like they're having a great time, and so good. I mean, for those who recall when Sarah and Stuart transitioned and retired from looking after the church, we gave them a nice gift, and we said they need to go on a holiday. Well, it's taken a while, but they finally got there, and they're spending 4 months in Canada, and it was so good to hear them. Deb's got a little bit of news that I think's just worth sharing, that God is really with them. They're really blessed and they're having a great time. I just thought it'd be good to share that. And Deb's got one other little thing to share as well.
Yes. Sarah and Stewie sent an email, and some of you may have got it, but for those who didn't get it, they're having a great time naturally and spiritually. And the first little point, they said that they spent 5 days with Stuart's cousin Eileen on Vancouver Island near Canada, and they had lots of fun. But on the third day, Eileen asked Stuart about his testimony, how he came to Christ. And then Tim, her husband, who was heading to the shower, came back to listen as well. And so they just had such great times. And one of their stories, Tim's story, was when, I'll read it. He has one of the great stories of his grandparents and all the kids being very rough and going to a tent crusade to mock everything that was being happened, and the whole family got dosed with the Holy Spirit, radically converted and baptized. So... but as Tim grew up, it is in that home, life gets busy for families. They didn't get to church and they slipped away from the Lord. But Sarah and Stuart had such a great time to share with them and refresh them again. And then the next place they went was to a friend of Stuart's in Kamloops. And he was a childhood friend, and his son became a Christian at the age of 15, Stuart's friend's son. So Stuart got to encourage his friend and his son's friend in the ways of the Lord again. So they were so blessed and so excited that God's using them like ambassadors for him, as well as having a lovely natural holiday. So they will see one of those families again. So please keep up your prayers for them. They really want to be able to leave a significant impact in the Lord as well. And I just wanted to share that Heather and Rob at Kingdom Culture Church are having a ladies' conference on Saturday the 19th of August. And Jared's going to send an email around about it. There are a few ladies from the church here going. If anybody doesn't have emails, you can talk to me about it. It's from 9 in the morning until whatever time you'd like to stay. And the theme is on confidence. And I think there's a little bit about kindness in that theme as well. So if you would like encouragement so you don't lose the way, keep coming to church and go to a great conference. Thank you.
Thanks, Deb. Hallelujah. I'd like to begin today with a story about Abraham Lincoln. We all know who he was, President of the United States during the U.S. Civil War. Time when the nation was torn apart by war, probably grieved him as a president, that the nation was fractured and at war, and so many lives were lost, so many young lives. In fact, at one point he lost his own son during that civil war. So you can imagine the grief and the pain that he was going through to lead a nation at that time. And one day during the middle of the week, he did what he often did, and he sought refuge in a church. And so with one of his aides, he went to a Presbyterian church, parked himself somewhere down the side so he didn't disturb what was going on, and just took his, what did he used to have, his stovepipe hat, and put it on his lap and sat. and listened to the message that was being preached. And after the message had been preached, he straightened up his coat, put on his hat, and he left. And the story is told that his aide stopped him and said, "What did you think of the sermon, Mr. President?" And he said, "Look, I thought the sermon was well thought through, was carefully thought through, eloquently delivered." The aide said, "So you thought it was a great sermon?" And Lincoln replied, "No, I thought he failed. He did not ask of us something great." And that was Lincoln. And today, I would like to ask of you something great. I'd like to ask of you something that will impact your sense of self-worth more than anything else. I'd like to ask of you something that will increase your sense of significance. I'd like to ask of you something that will, more than anything else, affect your contentment. Sounding good? I'd like to ask of you something that will increase your personal fulfillment. I'll ask of you something that will have the most impact on the fruitfulness of your life. And even more, ask you something that will impact your eternal destiny. And I feel it's wrapped up in one verse. And if you like, if we put it up, it's 1 Peter 4:10. This is the verse. Have we got it there? Hello. You can look it up in your Bible. How about that? Look it up on your phone. Here we go. Very simple verse from Peter. It says, "Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in various forms." I'll just read it again. "Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms." Now, the last thing we need is something more to do. Is that true? Is that how you feel? I feel like that. I feel like that very regularly. The last thing I need when people come up with all sorts of suggestions and asking you things is, I don't need one more thing to do. I don't want to be like the Pharisees that Jesus rebuked. He said, "Woe to you because you load people down with burdens they can hardly carry." And Jesus was so different. He said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Jesus knew how to keep things simple, didn't he? It wasn't about doing more. It was about focus. I have a quote from a man called a Christian Swartz. You may not have heard of him. He's wrote a lot of books about church health and about Christian life. And he has this quote. It says, "No other factor influences the contentedness of Christians more than whether they are using their gifts or not." Isn't that an amazing quote? No other factor influences the contentedness of Christians more than whether they are using their gifts or not. I just want to give you a little bit of the big picture. Jesus is building his church, isn't he? Is that what he's doing in the earth today? He's building his church. I mean, we were down at Hillsong recently in our nation. There was 25,000 or more there worshipping God. There was Salvation Army, a whole group from there. There was Bible Society group. There was people from every church around our nation. They were celebrating the local church. This wasn't their show. They put it on to empower the local church. And you can't help but stand there and be part of that and not say, "God, you're building your church, and the gates of hell will not prevail." We've got up here a vision statement up here on the left: transforming our community through the love and power of Jesus. It's very bold, isn't it? It's Very bold. Just look at that again. Our vision, not my vision, not one person's vision, our vision, transforming our community through the love and power of Jesus. Why should a group of 120 people, adults, that's roughly where our church might be, with then we've got a whole tribe of kids that just went next door. Why should a group of 120 adults believe that they can transform a city of 120,000? That's pretty significant, isn't it? Pretty bold. Because that's what God does. That's what God does. That's what God does. That's his pattern. Through small beginnings, he changes the world. Jesus poured out his spirit on 120 people on the day of Pentecost. And in the process of doing that, he gifted them. And in a few decades, he turned the known world upside down. That's his pattern. That's what God does. That's just what he does. That's his show. That's what he's about. And our vision is just simply in sync with that pattern that God does. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. It's a power that's transformed not just individuals, not just our lives, but can transform a whole community and a nation. It's a vision that's in sync with God's pattern, because God's pattern is he uses ordinary people to do extraordinary things. Isn't that what you've observed? You stay in church long enough, you see the most ordinary people doing the most significant things for God. His pattern is to grow from a mustard seed a huge tree. From God's perspective, that vision is doable. It's doable because the miracle is he's chosen to do it through us. And for this purpose, he's gifted us all. I'd just like to read from 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12. This is, before we talk about giftedness, it's helpful to think about how church works. You know, Paul used many metaphors to describe the church. Talked about a temple. There was a temple once, and the temple housed the presence of God. And Jesus came and he rent the veil, and that presence left that temple and dwells in us. We are his temple. We are the people of God. Paul talked about a family. We're like a family. We're the family of God. He talked about us, as we sang today, we're the bride of Christ that he's coming back for. Many times he talks about an army. But the most dominant metaphor used by Paul is the body. And if we just read these verses, they're really good. It says, just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we are all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free. And we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now, if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. What great verses, eh? Aren't they great verses? Encouraging. And there's so many principles in there we could draw out. We could talk about unity, how there's one body. Talks we read there, Jews and Gentiles, slave or free, but they're one. There's plurality, there's many members. There's variety, there's different members. We're all different, aren't we? We're all different. We're different, Deb. God puts people together. He puts different people together for a purpose. He's got diversity, different functions, different roles, necessity, all are necessary. And he's got placement. He sets various members in places where they fit. There's equality, we all have equal value, and there's giftedness, we're all gifted. Now, if the church is a body, and a body has many parts, and each part has a function, and God's plan is that each part is placed where he wants it, then if that's the case, now, this would not be this church, but research shows that 20% of people in most church life, they say, do 80% of the work. And potentially less than 40% of people actually get involved in building the church. That's statistics. We may be not in that statistic, but that's statistics. You know, church could be paralyzed because some gifts God has placed in the body are not being released. For the body to truly function, people need to be discovering their gifts, developing their gifts, and deploying their spiritual gifts. That's how church works. The something great we are encouraging is that verse we read at the start, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. And I'm introducing this, and we're going to spend 3 weeks on this. Gwen's going to share next week and inspire us even more, and Felicity's going to share the week after that. I just want to set the scene for this. The something great we're encouraging is that we serve in the area that God has gifted us. The simple fact is, if you do not play your part, Christ's body will be lessened by your absence. Do you know that? If you do not play your part, if you do play your part, then the body is strengthened by your presence. It matters that we find our place. It matters not just to God. It matters to the vision. It matters to what God's wanting to do. But it even matters even more to us. As that quote says, no other factor influences the contentment of Christians more than whether they are using their gifts or not. Church is not about a couple of paid and competent professionals. I don't know if we've even got that. We haven't got professionals, I trust, doing their work while everyone watches. The New Testament church is the body of Christ, and it's all about team. More will be done if we all find our place, if we discover our giftedness and get involved where that fits. At essence, its service is the heart of God, to love others and to serve. Now, we all know the parable of the talents. Who's read that? Parable of the talents? Great story. It says, to one he gave 5 bags of gold, to another 2 bags, and to another 1 bag, each according to his ability. In actual fact, the word talent we have today comes from this story. Now, broadly, talents could refer to our abilities, our resources, our skills. But more specifically, if I was trying to give it a word, I'd say it's your spiritual wiring. Some people are just wired certain ways. It's amazing, you look at some people, they come to Christ, they get involved in church life, and you watch them grow, and then you think, God, that person is just uniquely wired. They are just the perfect fit. They just make that happen. And you can't help but say, God, you've done something there. We were wired for service. We're created with a unique mix of gifts and strength, and God wants to use us in the way we're wired. In Psalms, just like to read you Psalm 139, very encouraging verses. It says, for you created my innermost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. How encouraging that is. God intentionally, uniquely designed you. He created, I'm not just an accident, he created me. Created my innermost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. Before you were born, God was preparing you. Your gifts and capacities are not an accident. You are unique. God has wired and created us for every good thing. And from God's perspective, we are no accident. We're so unique. In Ephesians 2, verse 10, it says, "For we are God's masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." What an empowering verse, eh? We are his workmanship. We are created to do good works, to make a difference, to make something unique and to contribute. God created us for a specific purpose and he has a plan for us. It's a little bit like a puzzle. Ever done a puzzle? You're trying to find where something fits. Hope Point's a puzzle. Church is a puzzle at times. And God's hand is that he has specifically designed us that we uniquely fit, and without us, the puzzle cannot be complete. God has designed us for something unique and he's equipped us for a purpose. Using whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in various forms. I was trying to think, what mindsets can we have that can rob us of God's purpose for us? One could be that we feel, I don't have anything to contribute. I haven't got anything. I don't feel like I've got anything to give. We can be deceived into to believe maybe we don't even have any great gifts. But that's not true. God has uniquely designed us. He's wired us for purpose, and he has something unique that he's put in us the day we were born again, the day we met him. He has put something unique in us. I'd like to read you a list of people who contributed for God, just so it sort of helps you to think that, you know, if you think you ain't got much. First, there was Noah. He was a drunk. Abraham, he was too old. Isaac was a daydreamer. Jacob was a liar. Leah was plain looking. Joseph was abused, and Moses had a stutter. Gideon was afraid, and Samson had long hair and a womanizer. Rahab was a prostitute. Jeremiah and Timothy were too young. David had an affair and killed a man. Elijah was suicidal. Isaiah preached naked. Jonah ran from God. Naomi was a widow. Job was a bankrupt. John the Baptist ate bugs. Peter denied Jesus. The disciples fell asleep while praying, and Martha worried too much. Zacchaeus was too small, and Paul was too religious. Timothy had an ulcer, and Lazarus was dead. But you know, they all offered themselves to God, and God did great things with them. You know, they all had something to give. In spite of their weaknesses, in spite of what they were once, they had something to give, and they offered it for him. We can even feel inadequate. We can say, I'm not a hand, I'm just a foot. Yet the point is that all members do not have to do the same thing, and all members do not have to have the same prominence. The thing is, if any of our members of our body would bail out, we would notice their absence. Their impact would be enormous. Talking before about being paralyzed, you know, if we if the body, if the physical body was reliant on every part playing its part, if 20% of your body decided when you woke up today, I'm just not on board, you would be what you would call probably paralyzed. You'd probably be admitted to hospital. You'd probably need treatment, you know. But even if it was 5% of our body, we would be dysfunctional. We would not be doing all that we were meant to do. And it's the same with us. We can also think someone's gifts are better than ours. We can start to compare. We can start to covet. I was so blessed with Craig Rochelle when we were down at Ilsong. He shared a message on running your own race. And he had this quote. He said, the quickest way to spoil something is to compare it. Isn't that true? The quickest way to spoil something is to compare it. Even this guy is probably doing some great things. He talked about his own struggle watching others doing things that he couldn't do and comparing himself with them and feeling inadequate and feeling he wasn't quite cutting it. But the thing is, he was only called to run his own race, and he was most content when he ran the race that was marked out for him. It's an old saying, the best person you can be is the person God created you to be. Andrew Denton used to always finish his shows at night, and he said, be yourself because the others are taken. Isn't that true, eh? And a few weeks ago when we were away, there was a young guy here leading the worship. His name was Brad. Enjoyed Brad coming? You know, he was really good, I heard. And I really enjoy, they've just put out a record, those KCC Church down the road. They're all chockers with about 40 musicians putting out a record. And they've got this lovely song Brad sings, if you've listened to it. It says, for in Christ, that's where the fullness is. Now that song, I listen to that, I could be in my, I could be at home or by myself. I could listen to that and I could belt that song out and I could think, in my own lounge room or my own or in the shower, I'm a legend singing away there. But no, and I could think, you know, really they need me as the worship leader. And go up and have a talk to Dan next time I can and just tell him that I'm up for it. I'm going to make a step of faith. I might get some singing lessons, Kim. Yep. I'm going to fast for 21 days because I know if I call on God and fast, I can make a difference. That's how I operate. But somehow, I doubt, no matter how much I try, I am not going to be the best person to be leading worship. I just don't think God's wired me that way. And I can remember when I first got saved, I got really dosed with the Holy Spirit, and I was in a meeting one night and this song came on me and I sang and made a lot of noise and I was having a lot of fun myself, but I don't think I was meant to be leading worship. We might empty the church. You know, there's some things we're just wired for. I also learned at a young age I was not wired to work on cars or build houses. And I never really ever had the passion. And now I might put my man card at risk today, but I'm not sure if I ever had the bent. I don't think I was ever graced for such things. I can still recall the frustration on the face of my year eight teacher when I presented my metalwork or my woodwork to him. I can still visually see his face and the pain he was going through trying to get me to sort of make this happen. I was really good when I got to accounting or economics or something else, but when, or whatever else, there was lots of other fields where I was going to do okay, but he was frustrated with me. Messy sheds full of tools do nothing for me. Nothing for me. You know, I hear guys saying I love to go to Bunnings and walk around. They could spend hours there. I tell you, I have to be honest. I'm putting my man card at risk, but it does nothing for me. It does nothing for me. Stuart tells me he loves the smell of grease. And all I want to do is wash it off my hands as quick as possible, you know? It just does nothing for me. You know, in life, there's some things we need to do sometimes, but frustration is not much fun. I'm not doing stuff that just frustrates me. When we had the recent renos, I was very thankful Ben was around because I was happy to try and encourage people to give so we could get it done, and I was happy to run tours to encourage people about what a great thing we're doing. But if you put me in charge of it, it would not look like this. I can guarantee you. And I was talking to Ben the other day, realized he's just wired for building. You know, he just loves it. You know, just probably did it when he was 3 or 4 years old. We're all different. Another thing in our mindset we need to keep in mind is it's the grace of God. You know, we can think your gifts are better, we can compare. We can also think it's something special about me, that what I've got is something that I've done. You know, Paul has a great little verse that I've always keep in mind. I don't know where it actually is, but he said, we have nothing except what we've received. Isn't that true? We have nothing except what we've received. Everything that's in us, all the gifts that we have, all the talents we might have, they are given to us by God. It's the grace of God. Sure, we need to develop them. Sure, we need to steward them. But if you're a great singer, it's because God gave you a great voice. And the same could be with teaching, with leading, with musicians, with pastoral gifts, with everything. It's the grace of God, and it's for the glory of God. What else could hold us back? What other mindsets we could have? We could even just decide to bury our gift. We'll leave that for week 3 of the series. But something great, where God is asking us something great. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. You know, it's important that we discover how we're wired so we can use our gifts for God's glory. I'll quote that quote from Christian Schwartz again. This is the fuller quote. It says, when Christians serve in their area of giftedness, they generally function less in their own strength and more in the power of the Holy Spirit. No other factor influences the contentedness of Christians more than whether they are using their gifts or not. I thought about how do we discover how we're wired. Now, there's various things you could use a questionnaire or a tool. Maybe we'll get some of them. There are around. If anyone would like one, let us know. We will find you one. But I thought sometimes just doing life in church, if we offer ourselves to serve, like in Romans 12:1, it says, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. If we would just get involved and serve, many times if we start there, often our gifts just float to the surface. They just happen. In the context of us being there to serve, they become evident. If we lose our life, we will find it. I thought about, we have to think sometimes, what am I graced for? What comes easy? Because Jesus says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. What actually works for us? What actually do we feel we're graced for? What energizes you versus what might drain you? When we work in the area where we're graced, suddenly we feel energized. Do you feel like that? When you're really doing what God's wired you for, you feel fulfilled, you feel content, you feel energized, you feel your life is with purpose, and you feel great joy. I thought about, what are we passionate about? I was hearing Barry Chance speak at one of our full gospel conferences, And he put this little thought out which really stuck with me. And it said, what makes you mad? He talked about in his life, he's a real teacher. He's written all these books. He's a teacher in the body of Christ. And he said what would make him mad from a young man was ignorance. If he felt, if he didn't know what the Word of God really said, it used to disturb him, and he had great passion to be able to explain in clear ways what the Word of God meant. He spent his whole life as a Bible teacher, wrote books, and he's still being used by God today. That's where his passion was. We should listen to the Spirit as we serve. Some people are passionate about justice. Some people are passionate about helping those with needs. We need to follow our passion. We need to hear from God and discern how we're wired. Maybe we could ask ourselves, what would you do if you were guaranteed never to fail? What would be the one thing you would long to do if you knew you wouldn't fail? We just need to discover our gifts, we need to develop our gifts, and we need to deploy our gifts. Every Christian is a member, and gifts we've each received, and we need to determine the role that we're meant to play. We're not looking for technocratic growth. We're looking for just a healthy church growing according to God's hand and his purposes and his plans. It's as simple as that, isn't it? Put simply, God's plan is that we find our place in the church where God has called us to serve. It's just a Spirit-led, organic thing that God can do. I just wonder if Stacy would come and would just... This is not rocket science. It's very simple. How does church work? And that I am gifted and God's got a place for me. My prayer today is that we pass the Abraham Lincoln test, or at least I do, and I ask you to do something great. My prayer is that you're encouraged by the fact that you're uniquely gifted. You're unique. Every one of us, every one of you is uniquely crafted by God. You're his handiwork. From the beginning of time, he purposed what he was going to do with you. He had plans in mind, and he crafted us, he knit us, and he made us unique. What a wonderful thought. What a wonderful thought, how unique we are. And in each of us, some might be given 5 talents, some might be given 2, some might be given 3, 4. However, we're all gifted. We're all touched by the hand of God. We're all wired. We're all designed by him. We're all fitted for a purpose. And the body of Christ needs each one of us to play our part. Without you, the body is lessened. It's so true. Without every member playing their part, we're lessened. And with you, we'll achieve all that God has purposed for us to do. Can I encourage you today? If you're not aware of your gifts, go on a journey of discovery. Think about, where are your passions? Think about what makes you mad. Think about what you're graced for. Think about the one thing you'd love to do if you knew you wouldn't fail. Maybe go and come and see us and find a questionnaire or something. Just do a bit of discovery. Find out how you're wired. Just get involved and serve and see what floats to the top. God's wired us for purpose. Once you know what they are, develop them and deploy them. Because God's got something he wants to do. He's got a vision. He wants to transform our community through the love and power of Jesus. It's doable. It's something he wants to do. It's something that's in his heart. It only needs 120 people wired up and aware of what they're doing and giving themselves for the cause that he's put in their hearts. We need to cultivate an inward desire that we want to be used by God. How important it is to wake up and say, God, use me. Take my life. Do something with me. God, take the one gift I've got, take the three gifts, whatever you've got, let's put it to his use. Let's serve him. Let's use whatever gift we've received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. It was said that Napoleon once pointed to a map of China, and he said these famous words, "There lies a sleeping giant. If it ever wakes up, it will shake the world." It's shaking the world at the moment, isn't it? It's woken up. But church can be like that. We can have huge potential, but we're asleep. But if every part of the body was mobilized, every part was activated, if every part put their God-given talents to serve, we could shake our town, couldn't we? We could shake Caboolture. We could see it transformed through the love and power of Jesus. But it's going to take all of us. I just wonder if that's your heart this morning. Just wonder if we could respond and say, God, I wonder if anybody would like to join with me, and we just stand, and just as a church, we together want to make this vision our vision, and we want to put our gifts and our talents to his service. If you want to join with me, I'd just like to pray for us all that every gift would be mobilized, every heart would be excited, that the passion that he's put in us, the call that he's put in each of our hearts, would be activated afresh today. Every one of us is so gifted. Every one of us, God has a plan for. Every one of us are wired uniquely by God. And Lord, we just lift our hands today. And Lord Jesus, we say, use us. Lord, use us. Lord, we offer to you what we have, whatever gifts we have for your service today. Lord, that as a people, Lord, what you've wired, what you're wanting to build, what you're wanting to construct, the puzzle that you have in mind, Lord, you would fit it together and you would do something great with each of our lives, but collectively as a people, Lord, we would together see our town transformed by your love and power. And Lord, we just thank you today, Lord, for your kindness to us. We thank you for the grace of God that's on our lives. We thank you, Lord, for just your empowering that comes by your Spirit. We thank you, Lord, what we have is only because we've received it from you. And today, Lord, we say we live for you and we long for you and we want to live. We want it to be said of us, Lord, that we serve the purposes of God in our generation. And Lord, that we want to be said, Lord, that we used our gifts. They weren't buried, but Lord, we live for you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Awesome. Why don't we just remain in an attitude of prayer? I just want to, just before we leave this place, Jared shared a